Next.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're going to be talking about Birthright Israel, trips to Israel taken by American college students, and we have two students we're talking with today by phone, Raina Schaff. Raina, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine.
Great. And in our studio, Amy Wolf. Welcome, Amy.
Thanks.
Now, let me start off with you, Amy. What is Birthright Israel?
Birthright is an opportunity for students between the ages of 18 and 26 to go to Israel and kind of, you know, make their own opinions, formulate their own decisions about how they feel about Israel, how they feel about themselves as Jewish students.
And Raina, how did you first hear about this opportunity to visit Israel?
I actually first heard about the Birthright Israel trips because my brother and sister both went on a Birthright Israel trip 2 years before I did. And I also was basically pushed to do it by the Hillel, the University of Illinois, because I'm very involved there, and they help students get in touch with Birthright and organize the trips as well.
Now, you had never traveled to Israel before.
I had not.
And is that the idea of this, to give students, Jewish students, an introduction to the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, who've not had that opportunity?
I think for many students, it is their first opportunity to go to Israel. And a lot of times, the whole idea is that it won't be their last opportunity because it's a very short trip and they're trying to cram a lot into 10 days. But it's just the idea is to give you a taste of what Israel has to offer, and hopefully you'll want to come back very soon.
Now, when did you go, Raina?
I went this past winter break. There's about three trips offered over the month that University of Illinois had for the winter break, and I chose the last trip. So got back right before the end of school, left on January 2nd and had a 10-day trip.
Three trips over winter break. And Amy, you went this last winter too. What trip were you on?
I went on CH5, which was, I think, December 26th through January 10th.
Okay. So you two were on different trips.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to find out what they were like. First of all, Raina, let's start with you.
Okay.
How did you prepare? Were there classes? Were there introductions? Was there training?
There weren't any classes or training, really. There was an orientation that took place a few months before we left. And basically the orientation took place at the Hillel on campus. And we met with our trip leaders that we were going with from the university. And they just gave us some of the basic information ranging from our itinerary to some of the things we could expect. They also gave us a little guidebook that had, you know, some keywords in Hebrew that we might want to freshen up on before we went over, because for a lot of people, you know, we didn't want to look like the American tourists. So there's definitely a lot of information that they threw at us, but it was definitely, definitely helpful. So you had some idea what to expect when you got over there.
And how many other students went with you on your trip?
On each trip, you were divided by bus, and each bus had approximately 40 students.
And were the students you were traveling with mainly from this university or other places?
What I specifically went on, I think I'm guessing Amy did the same. CH stands for like the Chicagoland area. So on my trip, most of the people were from the University of Illinois, but other people that are from Chicago area and go to different schools, whether it be in different states or just schools in Chicago, were also on my trip.
Now, how much did the trip cost you?
The trip, the beautiful thing about the trip is the majority of it is paid for already by different organizations and donors and things like that. So the only thing you really have to pay for is your flight to New York. The flight from New York to Israel is already paid for. Most of your accommodations are already paid for. You only pay for one meal per day and whatever souvenirs you buy on the side.
Now, Amy, when you heard about this, why did you want to go?
There are several reasons. I had been looking into birthright since I was 16. so I was pretty eager to go by the time I went, which was when I was 22. And the main reason was that I was very opinionated about the state of Israel, and I just got kind of sick of myself talking about something that I didn't know anything about. I had no direct contact with Israel, so I decided that it was time, especially before it got to be too late. Even though I had 4 years left, I was very excited. I felt like this was the year that I had to go, and also my grandparents are Holocaust survivors, and I felt that it was very important. The past year, I had gone to Berlin, which is where my grandpa is from, and he had been in camps there, so I got a chance to see where he had been throughout the war. And I felt like I kind of needed to complete the circle, just totally, take it all the way to Israel and see what everything is about.
Now, you're a senior this year. You'll be graduating next December, I know. What have you majored in at this university?
I'm majoring in geography, specifically the human aspects.
And, Raina, what have you been studying at the University of Illinois?
I'm studying – my major is English, and I actually got accepted to the secondary ed program, so I'll be certified to teach by the end of my 4 years at University of Illinois.
And what year are you now?
Well, I just finished my sophomore year, so I guess that makes me a junior.
All right. Now, we probably have listeners who are driving home from graduation. This is graduation day here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Let me encourage those listeners who have a question or comment for our guest on the radio program today to give us a call. This is a live program every Sunday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. here on WILL AM 580. If you're calling long distance, including on cell phones, you may call a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. If you're in Champaign-Urbana still and would like to make a call, we have several local lines available at 333-9455. So in the Champaign-Urbana area, if it's a local call, punch in 333-WILL. Otherwise, do use the 1-800-222-9455. We're eager to have questions, comments from listeners of any sort, but particularly families who might have college-age students who might be themselves perhaps curious about a birthright Israel trip. Raina, let's go back to you for a minute. When after you'd taken this orientation, were you nervous about going to Israel? Is it safe?
I was a little bit nervous because actually the reason I was so excited to go to Israel because I was actually supposed to be bat mitzvah there when I was 13 years old, and we had to cancel my trip about 2 weeks in advance because of the bombings that had been taking place. So I was very, very upset, and I've been wanting to get to Israel ever since because I was, denied that opportunity at first. And I think that when I told my parents that I was looking so heavily into the birthright trip, they were a little bit apprehensive because they knew, that I just had that trip a few years back that we had to cancel. But they had sent my brother and sister on the birthright trip, and they knew how safe it was. The fact that we had, 10 Israeli soldiers with us the entire time, two of which were armed all the time, made you almost feel safer than you ever would, if you were going to be in downtown Chicago.
And what about you, Amy? Were your family members and friends concerned about your safety when you told them you were going to be going to Israel?
My mom was kind of concerned, but she worries a lot, so I just kind of pushed that to the side. Otherwise, people were overall excited about me. I was aware that there are a lot of problems, but I also kept in mind that in the past few weeks, at least, there hadn't been any big, issues. So I, for the most part, just kind of went, well, whatever happens, happens,
Now, Raina, when you were there, what was your first impression when you landed? You landed in Tel Aviv?
We landed, actually, it was a very, very long flight, and so you get off the plane and you're extremely disoriented, and the first thing that we saw was, you know, the things in the airport, just all the different signs, and you were, all of the things that you had built up in your head, all the things that you had, all of your expectations and things like that. You know, it was a little funny because you were getting a taste of Israel. There were signs in Hebrew everywhere, but it was still, you could tell, you know, not the true Israel. It wasn't until we took quite a long bus ride and actually got out into the actual state of Israel that we were, you know, in our appropriate surroundings. But it was definitely a lot of traveling, but well worth it, to say the least.
Now, where did you go first?
We started in Jerusalem, actually. We started and ended there, which was, I think, really nice because everything came full circle. A lot of the times, depending on the dates of your trip, your itinerary will be switched around a little bit because they try to accommodate all the different groups and make sure everyone gets to see everything. But, yeah, we were very blessed. We came in, basically got to go and see all the skyline of Jerusalem with, you know, the old city in the background and the holy temple, the mosque that was present in the middle, and, you know, get some of those amazing pictures right on the first few days of the trip.
Now, with your mention of the mosque, what was your expectation of Jewish-Muslim relations as you went to Israel, to the Palestinian territories, yeah, and things like that?
Well, it's actually been something that I've always been interested in. And when I made the decision that I was going on the Birthright trip, I had subscribed to the JUF provides weekly news feeds that you can get online. And so I've been reading about the news and what had been going on in Israel, and just kind of to prepare myself, so I didn't go in not knowing anything about the political situation and the social situations there. And I've actually kind of seen that a lot of the way that the media publicizes things is not always necessarily the way that things are actually taking place. So it was actually really cool to be there and to see different faiths working together and living together in the same community, because Jerusalem is not only a holy city for Jews, but it's also a holy city for dozens and dozens of other people of different faiths. And there was actually an opportunity to see different, synagogues and churches and mosques, like I said, throughout the course of the trip that pretty much proved that.
Amy, when you first landed in Israel, were you curious about how the mix was there? All the people on the trip were Jewish students, but were you interested in the mix of Christianity, Islam, other faiths represented there?
I was very fortunate because during that semester prior, I had taken a class that covered pretty heavily the, you know, the four quarters of Jerusalem. So I had an idea.
What was the class?
It was Geography 204, which is like cities of the world. And so they talked about Jerusalem pretty extensively. So I knew coming in that there was a lot of diversity there. And then when we got there, when we went on the Wailing Wall tour, which was, I think, like the first or second day that we were there, the tour guide mentioned that, you know, a lot of tourists, we couldn't go to the Muslim quarter on our trip. And unfortunately, we weren't able to see any mosques either on our trip. But that would have certainly been pretty cool. But she said, you know, when they go out to the other side, they love the business of the Jewish tourists, of Christian tourists. You know, people coexist pretty well in Jerusalem. So that was pretty cool. And also when I was there, the second day that we went to the Wailing Wall, I was able to hear the call to prayer on the other side, which for me was, I love cultural conversion. And that was the quintessential experience that I could have had to get that kind of feeling.
Now, for people who've never had the good fortune of being in Jerusalem, tell us about the proximity of the Wailing Wall and the mosque.
It's so close that there's a wall that, so it makes it kind of like you can't see it because the wall is so high and it's right there and it's kind of blocking the view. It's very, very close, very close. Within, I mean, less than half a block, I guess. So, yeah.
Raina, when you left Jerusalem, where did you go on your trip?
Well, I'm trying to remember exactly because it's very hard. You know, when you're on a 10-day trip like that, everything kind of tends to blur together.
You see so much in a short time.
Exactly.
I know.
But, you know, we started in Jerusalem, and then one of the next things that we did was go out to, we went up to the north, and we spent some time in a Bedouin tent and got to ride camels and got to see just some of the more, I guess, less industrialized and less built up parts of Israel, the more natural things. We got to see the borders of Israel and look over and see from high mountains, see the see Jordan and, you know, all the neighboring countries, and it was a very cool experience. That was probably more of the, I guess, the hiking and the more relaxing part of the trips. It was a little bit less touristy for a little while, and then after that was when we kind of went down into the cities and really saw Tel Aviv, and, you know, we're going to more museums and different things like that that were in more built-up cities.
Amy, on your trip, and I know each trip often has different places you visit, what were some of the highlights for you? What are some of the most memorable things?
Oh, well, I loved the Dead Sea. I absolutely loved it. And you could see across to Jordan, which was fantastic. Also, Tzfat was gorgeous. It's pretty much a blue city. Like, it's all blue, and the synagogues are just spectacular. They're absolutely beautiful. And Tel Aviv, we only got to be there for a day, but I loved it. And that's probably one of the big motivators for why I probably would go back. In fact, I plan on going back to Israel in the next 2 years, I'd say, to visit Tel Aviv and visit Jerusalem and Tzfat more closely.
Now, one of the high spots of many visitors is Haifa, and seeing some of the places there that the Baha'is, it's the international world headquarters for the Baha'i religion. Were you able to visit that? I know you were focusing mainly on Jewish sites.
No, on our trip, we mostly went, of course, Jerusalem. We spent, I think, altogether like 5 days there. We spent a good amount of the trip in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. We also went up to Golan Heights, down to the Negev. So it seems like we covered almost all of the bases except for Haifa.
What about, again, I know the focus was on Jewish sites, but did you get, for example, to Bethlehem?
No.
Okay.
No.
Could you go into the Palestinian territories at all?
Absolutely not.
You could not?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Did you see the division wall, the security wall that's being built?
I did, and it was very – I don't know how to explain it. Again, I come from, you know, kind of a different perspective than probably a lot of the students that go on the trip. Or on my trip, it was more, you know, like I think there were definitely more people who were kind of, you know, on the wall about issues in the Middle East. But for me, that was kind of difficult to see, and, you know, but it knocked you into reality.
What about you, Raina? Like, what were some of the highlights for you of the some of the most memorable things you saw?
I think that obviously a lot of the main tourist sites, Dead Sea, climbing Mount Masada, being at the Wailing Wall, were all incredible experiences, and, you know, they were definitely defining moments. But actually, one of the things that I found the most spectacular was the day we spent in the sister city. Actually, it's through a program called Partnership 2000. Every city in Israel is paired with a big city that has like a high Jewish population in the United States. And Chicago is paired with a city called Kiryat Gat. And we got the opportunity to spend a day in this city that is not necessarily somewhere that you would particularly, you know, flock to if you're going to Israel. It wouldn't be, you know, like Haifa, Eilat, Jerusalem, one of your main stops. But I think that that was part of the beauty of it, was this low-key place that we actually got the opportunity to go in the classroom and meet some of the students. And as a future teacher, I think that was an unbelievable opportunity for me. But even more so, it was just really cool seeing Israel through the eyes of actual Israelis. Like I said before, we had the opportunity of having 10 Israeli soldiers on our trip already, so we got a little bit of it, but just being with these kids and talking to them just really helped you get in tune with the Israeli culture and to them what it meant to be Israeli. And they were also so intrigued by us, and, you know, you kind of, it really put things into perspective. It was a very surreal experience, just, you know, what this connection that we had, and, you know, it helped kind of, I guess, dissipate this love for Israel that we both share.
On WILL this afternoon, we're talking by phone with Raina Schaff, a college student, an upcoming junior at the University of Illinois in Chicago. And in our studio in Champaign-Urbana is Amy Wolf, a senior about to graduate next December in geography, both of whom took different trips to Israel as part of the Birthright Israel experience that enables college students in the U.S. to spend a 10-day introduction trip to that country. It's for Jewish students. If you have questions, if you're listening to this program and would like to ask a question or make a comment, do give us a call in Champaign-Urbana. The number is 333-9455. Elsewhere, there's a toll-free number if it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. And that 800 number is available for people who are listening on the internet as well. You may be at WILL.UIUC.edu and hearing this program anywhere in the country on your computer. And if you'd like to use the toll-free number with a comment or question, feel free. And if you missed part of this program earlier and would like to hear it, it is archived at that same website. You may go there and then click on AM 580 and go to Keeping the Faith, and you'll see this program listed with our guests' names and the subject as well as the date. So this program or other Keeping the Faith programs may be heard at your convenience via the magic of the web. And I see we have a caller on one of our local lines for our guests. So let's see. I'm not sure they're quite real. Ah, here we go. Line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Thank you. And thank you for the program. My question was, I had read in the press, I don't know, a while ago, that some of the groups that do Palestinian solidarity stuff were encouraging young students, young Jewish students to go on the Birthright trips as a way to get to Israel-Palestine. That, you know, go do your trip, you know, learn whatever you learn from that, and then come join the international solidarity movement or whatever. And that some of the groups that sponsored Birthright were upset about this and thinking of trying to crack down on it, and others said, well, you know, it's about going to Israel, and if some of the students want to do that, then, you know, that's their right to do that. So I just wanted to know if that was a while ago that I read that, and see if, you know, what kind of happened with that since then, or see if either of you were sort of aware of that controversy and how it played out.
I haven't heard about that particular organization. What I have heard about is, like, organizations like Reform or non-Zionist organizations where you can, you know, go help out in Palestinian areas. But it's still a it's not to join a solidarity movement. That's not the goal of it. It's just kind of to do some service. Whereas a lot of groups take you to groups like near Lebanon to help out with like families who lost homes or things like that who are living in shelters currently. This is to help out Palestinians instead. And as far as what you're talking about, I don't have any information on that directly.
What about you, Raina? Had you heard of that?
I definitely heard about it, but I heard about it actually a while ago, and I was surprised when I was getting ready for my trip that it never came up. I'm not sure if it's something that, you know, the Birthright people had heard about enough in advance that they, you know, have I think they have cracked down on it a little bit. There's definitely a push toward, you know, experiencing Israel through a Jewish perspective, but it also, you know, you're encouraged to extend your trip, and I think that they would never try to tell any student individual that they have, if when they extend their trip, they have to spend their time in Israel in any certain way.
Caller, did you want to follow up in any with
Thank
another question?
Thank you very much. That was very informative.
All right. Appreciate the call. Let me ask you, Raina, just following up on that a little bit. In my experience doing this interview show for the last 8 years, there are many different Jewish perspectives. And was that represented in your group of 40 college students who were happened to be on the same trip you were last winter?
I think it definitely was. One of the beauties of going in such a big group is that you have people from all different backgrounds. And even though we're all going with under the same umbrella of being Jewish students, everyone has grown up in completely different ways. The way that they practice their Judaism, to some people, may be more of a cultural Judaism versus necessarily a religious Judaism. Some people that were on my trip have never attended synagogue in their life. Some go only on the high holidays every year. Some are extremely religious. So it was definitely very interesting, especially once we got to Israel, because I think it allowed people to experience it in a very different way and learn from one another, especially in Israel, where a lot of times you'll find that there's a big division between secular and non-secular Jews in Israel, and that presence of what it means to be Jewish, the dividing line becomes very gray, and a lot of people were able to kind of see that you can be very appreciative of your roots and learn tons of things about your heritage and culture and things like that, and not necessarily have to be a practicing Jew for whatever that's worth.
And what about in that group of 40 college students you're traveling with by bus, what about different political perspectives on the whole Israel-Palestine conflict?
Yeah, there was definitely present as well. I think a lot of people at first were a little hesitant to talk about it because, you know, you're going on a trip with 40 people, a bunch of which you've never met before, and you're constantly surrounded by soldiers. So, you know, it's a very touchy subject for a lot of people and that everyone has very different opinions on it. At the same time, I think there was definitely a general sense of community and camaraderie. So I could definitely tell by people's different interactions with the soldiers that a lot of people, whether depending on their level of knowledge, I guess, about the issue, and some people, you know, weren't as interested and or educated on what was going on in Israel, but at the same time, they definitely felt that their roots were in Israel and that they wanted to support the Israeli people as much as they could, whatever that meant. And I think that throughout the trip, that became a little bit more defined to each individual.
Amy, I want to ask you the same question, but we're about halfway through our program today here on Keeping the Faith. This is a weekly program on WILL, a radio service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign that's supported by its listeners' generosity in large part. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, which are a live interview show each week. Next week, our guests will be Nikki Kahn and Rachel Dikas, talking about a student conference. We're doing kind of a series, interviewing those working with university students and students themselves here at the University of Illinois. On May 27th, we'll be switching gears a bit, and we'll be talking with a professor from Millikan University, Bill Cagel, about the myth of U.S. Christian foundations. He's a professor of history at Millikan, and that should be an interesting program on May 27th. Later in June and July, we'll be talking about representatives from a final exit, and we'll be talking about the Religious Workers Association with its recent and current president, Rob Kirby, a Methodist minister at Wesley Foundation. Those are some of the programs coming ahead for us here on Keeping the Faith. Support for these programs is provided in part by the University YMCA. I'm the executive director at the Y. The Y is the oldest religious institution at the University of Illinois. It was started back in 1873, started by Christians, and was a specifically Protestant group for many years, and then gradually expanded to include, imagine this, Catholics and Orthodox Christians, and then became open to students from any religious background or of none. And currently our programs include many opportunities for social action and community service. One of our big programs right now is Dump and Run, a huge recycling program. The Students for Environmental Concerns is the oldest student environmentalist group at the University of Illinois. And one of the big programs that they're concerned about is, of course, campus recycling. And we've been collecting things that students typically throw away this type of year as they move, perhaps go home, graduate, or at least go home for the summer. So we've been collecting this last week furniture and kitchenware and books and computers and all kinds of clothes and any number of things. And the collection continues next week. So if people would like in the community to donate to this good cause, we'll be having our huge Dump and Run sale next fall in August, starting on the 23rd in the Stock Pavilion at the university. But for this next week, we're still collecting at the Y for all these items. So if you'd like to clean out your basement or garage or attic, if you have clothes you're no longer wearing in your closet that are still useful, and students, international students, even kids' clothes, we're happy to take those. Bring them to the Y, 1001 South Wright Street, the corner of Wright and Chalmers. You just take Armory until it dead ends into Wright and go north a block, and in the back of the Y, we're collecting all these things this week during business hours. So do give us a consideration. If you have questions, call the Y, 337-1500. Well, let's get back to our guest today. We're talking with Amy Wolf here in the studio, a senior in geography at the university, and with Raina Schaff, who's going to be in secondary education now, junior next year, by phone in Chicago. We're talking about Birthright Israel, and both these students spent 10 days there over the last winter break. Raina, what would you tell someone who is considering going? What are the main... Oh, before I get to that, I promised Amy, or I said that I'd be asking her the same question I asked Raina earlier before the break, which is, how diverse was your group of 40 that you went with?
Well, not to make generalizations, but we did have a large amount of... Part of the reason why I went is because I had gone to UIC previously before attending UIUC. So I really wanted to go with a group that was from UIC and or predominantly from UIC. So
University of Illinois at Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. So I made it a point to take the particular trip that I took. And with that, you know, I got a really great mix of people who, you know, I still talk to. There were some really conservative people who, you know, were from some schools and some, you know, pretty liberally minded people from other schools. And it was a great mix. And, you know, they say before you go on the trip that you're going to have friends for a lifetime. And before, I'm a pretty skeptical person. And I was like, oh, that's not true. No way. But by the end of the trip, I still have people who I talk to from that trip. And not all of them. You're not going to be best friends with all of them. And you're not going to agree with them politically, you know, all of them necessarily. But it is true. You do hold on to, you know, those memories and those friendships that you gained in the 10 days.
Let me ask some specific questions just to be nosy. What was the mix on your trip between male and female?
It was about even.
Okay.
It was pretty even.
And what about between the various branches of observant Jews, Reformed, Conservative, Orthodox? Any sense of that?
I think maybe 10% of them went to synagogue frequently. There were actually, and what made me feel kind of good, because I'm a halfie, and
what does that mean?
My mom is Norwegian and Swedish and Irish, and she had attempted to convert. She had gone through conversion without actually converting. She kind of panicked at the last minute. And then my dad, he's 100%, and so I take my Judaism very seriously. I would say that I was raised Jewish.
Now, did you have a bat mitzvah?
No.
No.
Okay. No. So I was, and also, because I'm from Minnesota originally, and then my mom moved us down here when I was 11, that kind of interfered with any possibility of that happening. But I feel like a lot of them were just kind of coming to become more Jewish, because a lot of them were also Hafiz and had the same insecurities about their faith as I did. And, you know, it was a nice experience to know you're Jewish, even if people have told you sometimes that you're not, or, you know, people laugh when you say, like, oh, I'm Jewish, but, you know, my mom isn't, or I'm Jewish, but my dad isn't. You know, it's kind of nasty to be put down and made to feel like you're not. And so it was a nice reaffirming experience for a lot of us who don't participate that proactively. But this has given us the motivation to start doing more proactive work in the Jewish community and going to synagogue.
Raina, what's your religious background?
It's actually very interesting. I was raised pretty much culturally Jewish. Both my parents grew up Reform and attended Reform synagogues with their families growing up on and off. And they made the decision to raise my three siblings and I in a conservative synagogue. And it wasn't until after my B'nai Mitzvah with my brother that we decided as a family to switch back to a Reform synagogue, which is where most of my family felt most comfortable. For me personally, however, it wasn't until actually being on the University of Illinois campus that I felt like I really had the opportunity to explore my Judaism, and that's something that I've spent the last 2 years doing heavily. I got increasingly involved with the Hillel on campus and started attending weekly Shabbos services and making friends in more, I guess you could say, Orthodox communities. I've got really close with the rabbi on campus and his entire family. And I would say that I don't even know where to identify myself anymore. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily Reform. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily conservative or necessarily Orthodox. I guess I'm still kind of trying to define my Judaism, but I think that's something that you can't do overnight. It's definitely a process, and being in Israel on the Birthright trip was definitely something that fueled that curiosity and that desire to learn about my Judaism even more.
Now, Amy, coming from your mixed religious background, did you get in conversations on this trip? You're obviously traveling with these 39 other students who are variously committed to Judaism. Did you get to talk to Orthodox students?
There weren't any Orthodox students on my trip. And I don't know that there would be a lot of Orthodox students on the Shor HaShem trip. On my particular trip, there were maybe three or four conservative Jews. The rest were pretty much Reform. Again, it was only 10% that, you know, were proactively really Jewish.
Okay.
So.
All right. And in terms of political issues, did you talk about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict on the trip, or did you feel like Raina that it was kind of difficult to do that?
I felt like the first three or four days it was probably not the best idea to go right into that. That would just be, you know, headbutting when you're not at that stage yet in friendship or relationship with someone else. But there was one night, I think it was when we were staying at the Kibbutz Afik in the Golan region, when we kind of started to discuss these issues. Our group leader actually sat us down. We would have these like programs that we would do every night where we'd all have to sit down and talk about an issue. And so there was one evening where we had to like kind of sit in a circle, and then there were these four squares of the room. And if you were, you know, on one side, you'd have to go to one side. If you were on another side, you had to go to another side. And we did, you know, begin to kind of open up at that point. And we also got the perspective of the IDF soldiers who were there with us. And it was very interesting. And I think after that point, we were all kind of comfortable. We knew, you know, what our boundaries were. And that was definitely very helpful.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with two current college students at the University of Illinois, both of whom took trips to Israel as part of the Birthright Israel experience offered to Jewish students, Jewish college students. Amy Wolf is in the studio. Raina Schaff is by phone. We have phone lines open for callers who'd like to give us a call. And if you're calling from a cell phone, do let our technical director, Matt Kessler, know that when you call in, and he'll get you quickly on the air. We realize some people may be driving and maybe not themselves driving, but in a car on a cell phone, and they may want to call with a question. That's fine. The toll-free number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. In Champaign-Urbana, there are a couple local lines you may reach by punching in 333-9455. We're happy to have more callers with comments or questions for our guests today. Raina, I started to ask you earlier what you would tell someone who was considering going.
It's actually funny. I was asked to come back to the Hillel for the next birthright orientation for all the people that are actually attending trips throughout the course of the summer. So I was asked that question quite a few times, actually in person. And it's very difficult, I think, to put into words, you know, what this experience is, what your favorite part was, and even just what it means to you. And I think a lot of times that makes people a little apprehensive because you're like, if you can't, you know, explain an experience that, you know, you already had for 10 days of your life, well, what did you possibly do? I think that the experience of birthright and the experience of Israel is obviously very different for every individual. But I think that it provides just such a wonderful opportunity that many of us wouldn't get otherwise. Like I said before, the trip is practically free of cost except for, you know, the plane ticket to New York and a few incidentals besides that. But the things that you are able to see, the sights you are able to see, the food that you're able to taste, the culture that you're able to absorb, and basically just the experiences that you're given the opportunity to have are definitely a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I would advocate any student going, no matter what their religious background, whether they were raised culturally Jewish, religiously Jewish, if they don't even know what makes them Jewish at all. I have a lot of friends that would consider themselves only half Jewish, like Amy was saying before, that have attended the trip and found it extremely, extremely beneficial to them and loved it just as much as I did. So I think that if anyone's considering it, it would be an absolutely wonderful opportunity, and I couldn't, you know, say enough about it.
Amy, let me not ask you the same question, but was there anything you would add to what Raina said?
It's impossible to describe, you know, how you feel when you're done on the trip. People have asked me several times, and, you know, there's no way to describe what you feel when you're done with the trip. It's amazing. You know, it makes you think more than you've ever thought about. Well, at least for me, I thought more about my faith than I ever had before and how I want to raise my children and, you know, what Israel means to me. But they're very, you know, super, you can only tell people really superficial things like where you went and what you thought was the most fun and, you know, bring hiking boots. But like, aside from that, I mean, everything is, it's so personal and so difficult to express in a way that doesn't, at least to me, sound completely superficial.
Now, it's a small country, 6 million people, size of what, New Jersey? These are things we hear all the time. But it's a very varied country in terms of its physical geography. Tell us a little bit about that since you're a geography student.
Well, when you're closer to the coast, of course, it's more of a Mediterranean climate. When you go up to the Golan Heights, it's much more lush. It's definitely not how I thought of Israel at all. There's so many trees. It's just gorgeous, and it's like a mix of palm trees and, you know, other and just, you know, with a rainy climate. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And then when you go down to the Negev, it's chilly. There's not that much around the Dead Sea. I guess one issue that was, you know, kind of sad for me is seeing the depletion of salt resources around the Dead Sea. That was very difficult, you know, to think that something that's dead is actually dying. It's, you know, it's bizarre. But
now the Dead Sea is the lowest place on planet Earth.
Yes. And it's amazing that I was there. It's a really, really awesome experience to be in the Dead Sea.
And it's not that far from from the mountains.
Mm-mm. No, no. In fact, we actually stayed pretty close to Masada when we were at the Dead Sea the night before. So yeah, it's such an interesting climates, and they change, you know, within an hour, within 45 minutes to an hour, you're in a completely different climate. It's awesome.
Now, how intrusive are Christian tourists? Because after all, this is the land of Jesus, who was a Jew, but the Christian religion grew out of his teachings and life. And Christians go to Jerusalem and other places, the Sea of Galilee, Bethlehem, in huge numbers. How disruptive is that to people who are Jewish?
I think because I was on the winter trip, I didn't see as many Christians. And so for that reason, we did talk about it, you know, and we read poetry or essays that people, that local Jews had written about how they feel. There is a general sense of intrusion, I think, that people are coming and not necessarily understanding. And it's, you know, for them, it's this kind of mission to Israel, but they're kind of, you know, they're not always aware of how intrusive they might be to the locals. And for Orthodox Jews, especially, you know, on their holy days, it's, you know, I think even we stepped on their boundaries quite a bit when we were there. I think it's an issue of people who aren't Orthodox or who are not careful of where they are, because they're in an area that is not this secular, you know, completely secular area. It's an area where there are people, especially in certain parts of Jerusalem, are very strict and follow very strict guidelines on certain days. And, you know, at the beginning, there was a tendency to kind of go and want to watch them. But by the end, we realized, like, that's not okay. We really need to respect their boundaries.
Now, you were there for 10 days. Were you there for one Sabbath or two?
We were there for two Sabbaths.
And what did you do?
We ate. We said some prayers. This is how little I know about, you know, Sabbath, that we lit some kind of herb and kind of passed it around, and I maintained very little from that, unfortunately. But it was very unusual. It's definitely not something that I ever do when I go to Sinai or Hillel.
What about you, Raina?
I would say that Shabbat was definitely a different experience for me. Like I said, I tend to celebrate the Sabbath as much as I can when I'm down at school, especially. And I was given the incredible opportunity. The first Shabbat was a little more laid back, and for me, the second Sabbath was really most intriguing because we actually celebrated it in the city of Jerusalem. And not only that, but I was asked to help lead the services, which was a huge honor. And so I, with a friend who is actually studying in Israel, who used to be the song leader at Hillel, and another good friend of mine, the three of us led services together, and just the experience of being able to lead prayer in such a holy city at such a holy time, it was just absolutely incredible and empowering, and kind of, I think that was the most spiritual part of the trip for me.
And what did the phrase "next year in Jerusalem" mean to you when you're actually in Jerusalem on a Sabbath?
Wow, that's actually a wonderful question. Unfortunately, with the program that I'm in at the University of Illinois, I'm not allowed to study abroad. However, I kind of took the term or the phrase "next year in Jerusalem" a little bit more lightly. Whether it is actually next year or within the next few years, I think that this trip really sparked such an interest for me, you know, to be in Jerusalem, to be in the holy city, but not only that, just to be in the land of Israel and to be able to experience it not only for 10 days, but for an extended period of time. And I definitely will be back there. I've already looked into a lot of different opportunities and things like that of how, you know, you can get back. So,
tell me about what it meant for you in terms of what you'd read in the Tanakh, in the Torah, in Sabbath experiences or otherwise. Maybe you've taken courses in Judaism at the university and religious studies program, I don't know. But what was it like to be in the land where, in the city of King David, for example?
Yeah. I would say it was just a very personally spiritual experience, and I think that everyone really did take it their own way. So I guess I can't really speak for anyone else besides myself. But for me, you know, just lighting the spices and lighting the candles and passing, you know, passing around, standing in a circle, and this general feeling of warmth and community when we were having the Havdalah service was just one little aspect of it. One of the coolest things, I think, was the hotel that we were staying at, the Jerusalem Gold, hosts Shabbat every weekend. And so there was tons and tons and tons of locals that were flooding into the hotel Friday afternoon, and we got to see grandmothers and grandfathers, mothers and fathers and children just running up and down the stairs trying to prepare themselves for the Sabbath, and it was just this loud commotion, and then all of a sudden sundown came, and everything was silent, and it was just peaceful, and it was just community, and it was song, and it was prayer, and there was food, and to me, that's what the Sabbath is the everything that's our daily hustle and bustle kind of just comes to a halt, and everyone takes the time to sit down and to rest and to remember what we've been commanded, to take a step back and to make this day, you know, from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, different than the rest. And being around all these locals and seeing how they experienced the Sabbath and how they celebrated it made me feel just so incredible to consider myself a Jew. So I had something in common with these people, even though I'd never met them before, even though we came from entirely different backgrounds. We were all Jewish, and it didn't matter that we were Americans. It didn't matter what background we had or anything like that. We all sat at the same tables. We all, you know, ate the same bread. We all drank the same wine. It was just this unbelievable sense of community.
Now, let me just push a little bit on that, since we haven't had any callers to ask these kind of rude questions. I'll ask one. What about the unity in terms of food? I mean, here you have people who are observant, who aren't observant. What did you do about kosher?
Yeah, it was definitely, I would say, not as big of an issue because a lot of the people on the trip are a bit more secular, so not many people did observe the laws of kashrut. But it was definitely one of those things where if you did, it was respected, and there were definitely resources available, a lot more resources available, I would say, in Jerusalem than you would find, per se, in a city like Champaign, where there's a much lower Jewish population, and a lot of times it's a lot harder to keep kosher than it is in a city like Chicago that's a lot more built up and has a stronger Jewish population.
Amy, tell me in general about the food.
Well, there was plenty of falafel and shawarma. So much chicken schnitzel that I just never again. I'm not going to do that to myself. The tomatoes were sweet like watermelons, and I distinctively remember that that the produce was so much. It was just tastier,
fresh,
very fresh. Uh-huh. And I think, you know, that has to do also with we were in areas where we were near kibbutz farms and things like that, so that helped out a lot. And it was interesting for me because, you know, especially since, you know, coming from an area where no one would ever ask you if you'd rather sit in the milk or the, you know, meat section. It was dairy or meat section. It was very bizarre when we were in Jerusalem on our last day, and the hostess asked us that, and we were like, "What? Wherever?" We understand at the very basic level what that means, but to be asked that in a restaurant, it was kind of eye opening. In general, the food was very good. I'm quite partial to Middle Eastern food anyway, so it was nice to, you know, to always have the opportunity to eat it, and very cheaply, very very inexpensively.
Raina, what did people your age, what kind of clothes did Israeli college students wear?
Yeah, it was interesting because we were, you know, the first Israelis that we met, of course, were our soldiers who the first few days we were with them were wearing uniforms. So when they actually put on their normal clothes and, you know, would be out with us for our evening programs and things like that, it was really interesting seeing, wow, you know, they don't look that different than us. If you were to see us all on the street, I mean, aside the fact that they have a much darker skin complexion, generally speaking, you know, A lot of their clothes they buy from very similar stores. A lot of the big cities like Tel Aviv, even in the smaller cities like Kiryat Gat that I talked about earlier, you know, they have malls with very American stores. So we definitely were able to see how, I guess, American culture has effect on other countries, especially a country like Israel that's been, whose economy has been so intertwined with that of America. So I think there was a lot more in common with students of our age and students from Israel, who most of the people around our age are just getting out of the army or still serving because they go in when they're 18, and then they can choose from there what they want to do, if they want to attend a university or things like that.
Amy, when you were talking with Israeli college students, what did they say to you or ask of you as an American in terms of American, say, involvement in Iraq?
Those kinds of questions didn't really come up a whole lot. We were mostly more interested, and I think it was very much us asking them questions.
Okay.
We definitely, you know, asked how they felt personally about serving in the military. And, you know, perspectives changed depending on who the person was who were asking. But they're so similar to us, and it's really nice to have them along with us on the trip.
Now, if there were students with you on your trip who went over who were very pro-Palestinian politically when they went, how were they treated?
Well, I don't think anyone made a point to say that they were super pro-Palestinian. I think at first coming from my perspective, I think people were kind of like, some people who were more conservative were, I don't know if I want to talk to her, but the group gets, you know, we all end up building this wonderful relationship together where we're coexisting, and it just doesn't matter because we're all in this together as Jews.
We've been talking on Keeping the Faith today with two current college students at the University of Illinois, Raina Schaff, who is talking with us by phone from Chicago, who is a rising junior and in secondary education, and with Amy Wolff, that's spelled W-O-L-F-F, who is a senior, going to be graduating next December in geography, who both took trips to Israel last winter break as part of the Birthright Israel experience. For listeners who might be interested, perhaps college students themselves, how may they find out more about this?
They can go to the U of I Hillel website, which is UIUCHillel.org, or you can also visit birthrightisrael.org.
Thank you very much. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, I'll be talking with Nikki Kahn and Rachel Dekas about a national student conference that the U of I YMCA will be hosting this coming week. The following week, May 27th, Professor Bill Cagle from Millikan History Department will be talking with us in the studio about the myth of U.S. Christian foundations. It should be an interesting discussion about that on May 27th. Coming up this week at the Y, we're still collecting for Dump and Run. If you have furniture or household items that you'd like to donate that college students next fall will use, do bring them to the Y. If you have questions about what we accept, give us a call, 337-1500. Our technical director for this program has been Matt Kessler. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
When asked what he thought about Western civilization, Gandhi once famously said, "I think it's a good idea." Gandhi's form of extreme nonviolence led to the civilized retreat of the British from the Indian subcontinent. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, on To the Best of Our Knowledge, some new ideas about a very old subject, nonviolence. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly clear with a low in the lower 50s and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy with a high in the mid-80s, south winds 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to around 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s and south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
WILL programming is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake, suspension, preventative maintenance, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available. 344